You've reached producer and cinematographer Johnny Durango. I'm unavailable right now because I'm busy listening to the Oh Brother podcast.
Welcome to the Oh Brother podcast with hosts Dan and Mike Smith, brothers from the same mother with different opinions on movies, TV, video games, and more, plus celebrity interviews. Get ready, get set. It's time for the Oh Brother podcast.
Welcome to the Yo Brother Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Hey, man. December 5th, when you get in this episode of the Yo Brother Podcast, it feels like it's been...
Because it has.
3 weeks, four, like longer than it has been, though. But it's been at least a couple of weeks.
Well, I think the last time we did two shows, so...
Yeah, we were little bit of ahead of the game.
Yeah,
that's true. So the last time we recorded, yeah.
We're behind.
And trying out some new equipment. I posted this out on Instagram, but I've got a new microphone set up. Hopefully this sounds good. Coming through good on your end?
Yeah, it's quite loud, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, for
are
those...
Are you wearing a Paddington Bear t-shirt?
I'm trying to figure out what that is. It's a Christmas story.
Oh, all I could see was the hat.
The triple dog dare you.
And it looked like Paddington Bear.
No, that's Ralphie and Flick.
I got
Flick,
it.
Flick who? So, it feels like forever.
Why is that? I'm trying to set you up. I'm trying to be a good sidekick.
That was ridiculously
stale. I'm trying to set you up.
I remember you did that one time before. It's like... and tell us why that is, kind sir. It's just so horrible.
Crackling roses.
Yeah, no copyright strikes with the Neil Diamond Broadway show that you were telling me about. It's just before we came on.
I know I can't get it
You're
out of my head.
You're obsessed with it. You're obsessed
I
with
am.
It.
I am obsessed with
so
it.
So we were ready to go on Mike. Now, here's the deal. We had this trip planned out for you to come down to Florida, which has been a while since you've been here.
Right. In fact, I would just be getting home now, right? No, yes. I'd be
That's
on a plane.
Right.
I'd be up in the air right now.
Probably in the air, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the plan was that you were going to fly in the Monday of, the week of this.
Now recording. I want a little more volume on your audio.
Uh-huh.
Little louder.
Yeah. You want me to be louder?
Yeah.
What's that?
That's better.
Is that good?
Yeah.
So you were scheduled to come in, had this all planned out.
Right.
Day at Disney. We got Universal in the works and all this stuff. And
we were gonna do an episode in
together.
The same room there.
That's right. That's right. Which we've done in Boston, but we hadn't done it together in Florida before. So everything's booked, set, ready to go. And then Tuesday evening. The week of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Not feeling quite right, you know, and Wednesday comes, I'm off from the day job and going on a little Thanksgiving break. And I just start feeling under the weather, you know, achy, sore, whatnot, et cetera.
Meanwhile, I'm in my room singing the Neil Diamond tunes.
Right. You're singing at Broadway.
Jigging out.
Thursday comes. And I'm like Wednesday night, I couldn't sleep at all, totally restless. I had aches and pains. I was getting feverish. So I said, you know, I might to be safe. Let me take a COVID test. I got one of those home tests. Yeah, I had a bunch
free,
of those home tests.
Free
yeah.
Government tests.
Yeah. Totally vaccinated, boosted the whole nine yards. But, you know, it doesn't mean you're completely immune to it. So take a test, and I'm getting ready to do the swab and the whole thing. And as I'm preparing for it, I'm kind of feeling something's, you know, I'm not feeling super positive about the outcome, which will come into play in a minute. Speaking of that,
I think we can guess.
15 minutes later,
yeah,
boom, CT, bold on the strip, lit up like Vegas, COVID positive. And by this time, though, you are communicating with me saying you're not feeling well.
Saying I have migraines.
Saying
I have
you got
migraine today.
Right.
And that's on, you know, I get a lot of headaches. When I was a kid, I had a lot of migraines, yeah. But I said to you, you know, yeah, I got this migraine. And so the next day, since you had just tested yourself.
Yeah, for you, the day after Thanksgiving, you test it.
Day after Thanksgiving, I take it. And I got the CT, you know.
The CT
you're
for
dead.
People who have taken the test.
Yeah,
right.
You're dead.
And I knew when I came walking out after the 15 minutes was up.
Yeah.
I did this weird thing where I kind of walked past the strip and didn't look at it initially because I just knew.
Yeah.
I just knew it was going to, and it couldn't have been any clearer. It was like the T was radiating.
Well, you said 15 minutes, right? I do the drip thing in it and it's like blink. It's like it came right up to the T.
Well, like, that sort of happened to me too, but I was like, okay, 15 minutes, maybe that'll go away.
Maybe it'll go away.
It'll go away. Yeah. So that
and
never
I'll be
happened.
Cured.
Right. And I've since tested positive again. But you know, as you and I were talking about, you can test positive for like 3 months. It's a whole thing.
Right.
So now we go into this mode of like we gotta cancel the trip.
And yeah.
So you immediately cancel your flight. I'm knocking heads with the cops, canceling the trip to Disney and,
right.
You know, not getting our money back, of course, on any of it.
Right. You know, which is crazy.
So we got this, but you know, it's not a total loss. I mean, now we just got to figure out dates to reschedule and all that. But what are the odds that we plan this out? It's, you know, it's been in the works for weeks.
Right.
We plan it out, finally settle on the dates. Boom. Everything's locked in. I get sick. I get COVID. You get, I mean, you can't
1500 miles apart.
You can't write that.
And for me, it's even more bizarre because I'm basically a shut-in.
Right. Well, I said,
you know,
yeah. Well, it looks like you got to quarantine some more.
Quarantine from what?
Yeah.
So it was, and the only place I had been was the dentist. So I mean, either I picked it up there or I picked it up on another source.
Well, and mom is, what is mom now? 86?
No, 88.
No. She's not 88.
88.
No, you got that way off.
35.
No, you're way off.
1935.
No way.
That's her.
Hold on.
Birth date.
No, she just turned 87. So you're a year ahead. Anyways, so of course worried about her, no COVID, but then what, 48 hours later, boom, she fires COVID. Up the stick, CT COVID.
And I'm convinced that's where mine came from.
I mean, you're just looking to lay blame.
Well,
you know, I'm surprised you didn't say you got it from Shia LaBeouf.
Well, it could have been.
Mike's still angry about that.
I think I got it from Yee, because I was watching.
From Yee?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Do you watch the news at all?
Are you talking about the China situation?
No, I'm talking about Yee, Kanye West, now Yee.
Wow.
He was
First of all, isn't it Yeezy?
No, it's Yee now.
Oh, okay, excuse me.
It's Yee. Come on. Get hip.
He's into brevity.
So he's on Alex Jones yesterday with a helmet, like not a helmet, but it's like
a fencing helmet,
a dominatrix thing,
where you zip the
eyes, zip the mouth. He's all zipped up, saying shit like Jews are killing us, and
every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
I mean, this guy is in California. We call it a 5150. He's 5150.
How does that come around to COVID? That's a total crowbar.
Because I would never. Yeah. I don't watch
Mike does
Alex
it. He has these things in the holster, and he's just. It's like I've got to get this bile out.
I had to bring that out.
I'm still not sure about Yee.
But everybody, come on.
I remember Dad's friend Charlie Yee. Remember Charlie Yee?
Yeah, but he was Hawaiian or something.
Oh, was he Hawaiian? Yeah.
So, but I mean, everybody in the news anybody that's watching this has seen him on TV with this ridiculous.
I still don't understand how we transitioned from COVID into that.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
Let's
tighten this up.
There's somebody that is now reemerging. Before we get to the Disney stuff, because I am like on fire for Disney, and we were going to be there and then report some stuff. But anyway, I'm on fire for that. But first, there's somebody reemerging in the scene, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Oh, you said you had something. Okay.
Okay.
What scene?
Just coming out of, banishment, let's
Mike's
say.
Mike's the hipster here. I just
can't. I am.
It's got to be Louis C.K. It's got to be Alec Baldwin. It's got to be Kevin Spacey.
Well, Alec Baldwin never went in. I'm staying out mainstream.
You know what's interesting?
I shot someone. I don't care.
Okay, but again, let's not get into that topic. But anyways, I was just listening to he was referenced on an episode I just listened to of the Talking Sopranos podcast.
Right.
And something that I think Steve Sciarippa said about Alec Baldwin, because they had met him. They often talk about people they've befriended in the business along the way.
Yeah, he fits into that world.
They mentioned him, and there was some reference about some gun comment. And I thought, oh, that didn't age well,
right,
when I was listening to it. So who's hitting the scene again? I don't know.
It was Trevor Noah, right?
Try that again.
Trevor Noah.
Trevor.
Noah. 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 You said like
Trevor,
Noah's Ark.
Trevor Noah. Yeah. Which is what we do. We add R's where there's not supposed to be R's.
I'm sick. I got COVID. Come on.
Okay. Everything's COVID.
That's
now.
The excuse.
Yeah.
So I felt like somebody just came over my shoulder there.
It was Trevor Noah.
That was weird. Yeah. So I just last show I said I never watched these talk shows, right? But I'm flipping through and he's on and he's
getting ready to dip out from the Daily Show.
Right, he's getting ready to leave, and
somebody
else is
resurfacing. He's getting ready to leave that gig after.
But somebody, one of his guests, is resurfacing.
Okay.
And this was the platform he chose.
Okay.
And the person is Will Smith.
Okay.
Okay? Because he's got a movie coming.
That's right, which I'm sorry, I will not be watching it.
This is my question to you. No, I would have watched it.
I would not have.
Because.
You mean you would have pre-Oscars slap?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. You would have watched it.
Before the Oscar thing happened. Because when the Oscar thing happened, I was chucking DVDs away.
Are you saying that, though, based on having seen the trailer for it? Because we're talking about, it's an Apple original film called Emancipation.
Correct. And I'm talking about it because of the story. I've heard of the story in college.
Well, I saw something, I don't know if it was a Hollywood Reporter or something on Instagram about, a quote from him, like, I hope my past actions don't impact the work of my colleagues and get
them
out and blah,
guess what?
Blah,
they're
blah.
Going to.
Oh, absolutely. Going
and
to,
yeah. And it's a shame because there's a famous picture of this guy, and I think he was called Peter.
Well, now I haven't read up on it, so I don't know what the story is.
Okay, so I'll just give you a quick gist.
Somehow we're doing an episode on Emancipation.
No, it's just really quick.
Yeah.
It's about this guy. His name's Peter the Slave. That's what he was called.
Where this is going.
No, the reason people knew him is because of a famous photo from like 19...
A famous photo, you say?
Well, photograph,
On the Trevor Noah Show.
So there's this famous picture with him, and he's sitting with his back to the camera. And it's all these bruises from being whipped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most brutal sight. Just imagining what that must have been like to go through. So that picture alone, like, caused outrage. It swung, a lot of people say, swung the Civil War. That's what outraged the North to really put the guns on And so that's what the story's about. So it's fascinating.
Right.
But.
And racism was no more, folks.
Right. And racism ended until.
Yeah. It was that
until
day.
Until Ye was born.
It was that day that racism ended. Yeah. So. No, I'm not. Well, you know what? It's so interesting you would bring that up because a post that I just put out on Instagram for those of us that follow us out there at OHB Podcast.
Which had a little COVID disease floating around it.
No. This is a different post.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was a clip from the last show where we reviewed "Don't Worry, Darling."
Oh yeah.
And it was basically the conversation we got into about Shia LaBeouf and
right
how he was originally affiliated with that movie.
Correct.
Until this controversy that, and then the clip. The write-up in the clip, the comment on the post was about separating the art from the artist.
Right.
We've talked about that a lot.
Right. You have.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've engaged in that conversation about it.
Interesting you say that because Trevor says to Will Smith, he's, going on like, I'm your buddy and, Chris Rock's my buddy. I didn't get it. But I don't think a person should be judged on one incident, he said. That was his take on it. Mm-hmm. Somebody shouldn't be judged based on one incident in their life. Okay, so I'm going to go shoot somebody, but don't judge me on that one thing I did.
Right.
That's a total, I'm not buying that for a second.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's honestly, my defense is just that I've never been a fan of his ever.
True. So you've always
it's consistent.
And I'm not a big fan of him, but I think he's done good work. There's some the movie he did with he's now retired, Enemy of the State. That movie was really good, really
the
good.
Hackman? Gene
yeah,
Hackman.
Yeah, Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
And
6 Degrees
there's a couple
of separation.
I like the iRobot. I like that because I like sci-fi.
Yeah, no. I've always felt that he was so grossly overrated, like Jamie Foxx and some others, that I just didn't find him appealing.
Right.
His movies just don't appeal to me. So
and then he wins that night. We know the story.
This will go one way or the other. People will be so intrigued and, they get sucked into that rabbit hole out of curiosity to want to see it for whatever reason, or they'll choose not to watch it either because, like me, they're not really a fan anyways, or because of the incident that happened.
Right. But it's such a historical thing that he's representing. And Antoine
Fisher?
Antoine Fuqua? Is that how do you say his name? The director.
I'm sure that's not how you say his
Antoine
name. Was Antoine Fuqua. Fisher Fuqua. The name? Wasn't that the name of a film?
Yes.
Okay, I'm confused.
Which, ironically, Denzel Washington was in,
right,
who has been directed by Antoine Fuqua. I think that's how you say it.
Is that
F-U-Q-U-A.
Okay.
Yeah. So
accent on the F.
It's his movie. It's his movie, and he's a really good director.
And I would suspect that this has been in the can for some time. Is that right?
He directed Training Day, Anton. And other movies.
But Emancipation, I'm assuming, has been wrapped for prior to the Oscars, I would
imagine? It had to be because it's ready.
Right.
And I don't know if it's getting a wide release. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Well, I think it's going straight to Apple. I think it's going straight to Apple TV.
Clearly, the studio's got a problem on its hands. And
do they? I don't know.
And he chose to reemerge, which I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah.
On a friendly format, which, he could have gone on Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Fallon be doing these, things to him. So
right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it would be more interesting if it was getting a wide release.
Yeah.
To see what the box office would do. That's what I'd be curious. Because with the streaming, you just can't tell.
And now to segue. Do you realize this past week, a major Disney animated film was released. Do you know that?
Yes.
Strange Days.
Correct. It was a Pixar film, right? Another Pixar film.
No.
Oh, this was Disney
Animation? Walt Disney Animation.
Okay. Yeah, and it tanked. It tanked for a couple of reasons. So it tanked because, well, this, I'm not claiming this to be 100% factual, but I think one, you got to say it was going up against Wakanda Forever. So kind
that
of already
was the week before.
Yeah, but still, it's only
but
in
they
its
didn't
second
go head
week.
To head.
Not
and
a release.
Any other Disney film.
This is Black Panther. It's a total.
I know, but any other Disney film going against a second week release would kill.
Probably. But I wonder if it got caught up in the, you know, because I don't, the marketing for it, promotion.
The marketing
for
was
it.
Horrible. Mm-hmm. The music was terrible. The acting was awful. The animation was subpar. It's what I've been saying about Disney.
So the voice acting was bad.
Yeah, everything about it was bad.
Who were some of the voice actors?
You know, I don't even remember.
Yeah. So you've seen it?
Most of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did see an article on it because it was the first, isn't it the first film of theirs that has an openly, like a gay character as a main character?
And they're scapegoating it. I don't know if I should say that because what some people are saying is they scapegoated that character.
Saying, oh, America's not ready for this.
Correct.
That's why it didn't do
Correct.
Well.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
So, I don't either. Because look, we've just been through several animated films that had characters that were openly gay or Pirates of the Caribbean, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. So did you read, was there any other commentary about, you know, early speculation as to why it failed?
Because Disney, as I've said,
creatively bankrupt.
And so, they have been for a couple of years.
Now it's interesting because continuing on with Disney here, because this is one of the things we were going to talk about.
Yeah,
we
this is our to main topic. This.
Yeah, so Bob Chapek was it just last month, November, that his contract got extended, right? Early in November?
It was 11 weeks ago.
Okay.
Roughly. Okay. So 2 to 3 months.
And they extend it for
3 years.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, we can go back and pull the footage. I need to sit Chapek down, slap him like he's Mo Howard. I was beside myself. What?
Right.
This guy is running Disney into the ground.
And our conversations about Chapek and his leadership have gone back almost since the beginning of the podcast.
We were like the first ones dumping on this guy because he's a bean counter. He's got no vision. He wouldn't get up in front of D23, which people who are Disney fans know what that is. I explained it one time before. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't show up because he was afraid he was going to get booed by that hardcore Disney fans.
Because he's been booed before on stage.
Yes. So Bob Iger, who was his predecessor.
Well, and who had been with, 20 years or something at the helm?
I think 15.
15, but many something years, like many more years in the industry.
Responsible for Pixar,
ABC,
Luke's.
Yes. Yeah, all the Marvel acquisition, like all of that stuff.
Right. He's responsible for a lot of good business deals.
Yes.
After Eisner set up. Eisner basically was the setup, the visionary, and then Iger came in and cut these deals to make Disney the powerhouse.
Yeah, and then Iger, so the idea was that he was sort of going to be in the wings for the first couple of years, right?
That wasn't the plan.
I thought that was the plan.
No,
and then
the
they got into a beef, and then Iger's like, I'm out.
The plan was for him to turn it over, and he had nobody to turn it over to.
Well, I'm saying once it was decided that it was
changed. But once it was decided, he was walking away, And then things instantly started to go downhill. Instantly. Yeah,
but there was stories that that Iger was going to sort of try to guide him.
Correct. The but first that couple of years. Wasn't the original plan. That happened after he was named, after Chapek was named.
Correct.
Then everybody was like, Chapek?
Chapek? Like, okay, well, hold on. Well, Iger's going to hang around. He'll be not too far behind. You know.
Guess who loved that idea?
Who's
Chapek?
Chapek, yeah.
He was beside himself.
I don't need a babysitter. Yeah.
I'm the spotlight. Me. Right. I'm running the show. That's when Iger.
And then almost immediately, Chapek just starts bringing this thing into the toilet.
Right.
With all his decisions, the cronies of his that he put in place.
Right. And the Disney stock, which is like IBM, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it used to break four for one every year.
Yeah. Now, so, you know, COVID hits right after he takes the helm.
Right.
And so.
Not an excuse.
No, not an excuse, but not a position I'm sure any leader would want to step into if they had their druthers.
No, but it's a position that needed a leader.
Absolutely, which he clearly was not.
He was not.
And so he goes into this, like, takes a hard left. And because, you know, the parks got shut down and, like, the way everything was in the early days of the pandemic – he immediately just starts that his whole lust over the streaming. Because, you know, nobody was going to the parks at that point.
And that was the only thing making money.
Right. And then once the parks come back online, they jack up the prices to the point where people still can't afford to go, except for the super rich tourists that are coming in from out of the country.
Right. They open a hotel that's $10,000 a weekend to stay at a Star Wars hotel.
Yeah, the Galactic Dinner Theater. Yeah, exactly.
That tanks. There's nothing, you know, all sorts. They could have done, Universal Studios kept maintenance going. They had maintenance crews throughout the pandemic, which is what you do. This stuff, you can't have sitting in water.
And that's another thing, too. So many employees got laid off and ultimately fired.
You know, and they promised certain things, didn't deliver.
Right. And so that's when, you know, once they came back online, I think they started to open up. It was late summer. It's like July, I think, when I had first gone back out there a few years ago.
That was a disaster.
Well, at first it was great because there was nobody there.
Right.
It was like the old original days when we used to go in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, when you would go in October and you'd be like, woohoo.
There was like a peak and an off peak season, which there just isn't anymore.
Right.
And then just week after week, month after month, eventually the park experience just continued to suffer. It was so clear and you know, palatable. Like you could sense it everywhere.
And it was their 50th anniversary Walt Disney World, which was supposed to be huge.
This huge reveal, this complete makeover of Epcot Center, which we were jazzed up about.
Right.
That went into the toilet and got scrapped because they were hemorrhaging money. Because of, you know, all these decisions.
Which
that
they
making.
Weren't. That's the thing.
Right.
At the time they weren't. They could have kept their promises. Mm-hmm. Because Tokyo Disney, right, which is affiliated, they're not owned by Disney. They have a IP sharing agreement. And they also get some of the take. But it's not run by Disney. It's run by Disney Tokyo. I don't know what the firm is called, but it's like Disney Limited or something like that.
Right.
They're building a new park during the epidemic.
Yeah.
Well, they literally knocked down Space Mountain and rebuilt a bigger, better Space Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Orlando is in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
people's faces at the park. All you have to do is go online and watch these Disney streams. And people are like, you know, just kind of slumping around. There's fights. There's physical fights out in the park.
In Toontown.
People are beating the shit out of each other.
Families beating the shit out of each other. Right. Yeah. It's just, it was disgusting. So, yeah, that's where I was seeing it immediately, was in that park experience. It was so obvious.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. All those plans we talked about got scrapped. And so it just became very sad. And I'm an annual pass holder.
Right.
I went out last year, what, less than a half a dozen times.
Yeah. And that's a lot of money now.
That's a lot of money.
I was an annual pass holder. It was $1.50 a year. 365, no blockout dates.
No blockout dates.
Yeah. Now you got to make reservations in advance, and then you've got to have a ticket. And along with the ticket, you have to have a reservation to get on a certain ride that's popular. Right. What's going on?
So now I was trying to get a hold of you. This was just before Thanksgiving. And I think you were starting to slip into the early stages of COVID.
Yeah.
Because you weren't responding to me. And the news had just broke. And the news being...
Right, that's right.
Now, I was bombshell announcement.
I was asleep.
I happen to be online and I see the headline pop up, like the Hollywood Reporter, Bob Chapek, in a stunning move, Chapek fired, effective immediately. Effective immediately.
And what happened the week before, Jim Cramer, the kind of wild guy that hits the things, it's a sell, bye. That moron gets on.
Like NSYNC.
And he's like, Chapek's got to go. Disney's in the tank.
Right.
You know, it's suddenly
Cramer?
After Jim Cramer says that,
he gets
axed.
Right. Well, and credit to the guys at Rebel Force Radio, because this is one of the things I wanted to bring up to you and get your take on this. They were talking about it on their Star Wars podcast, which if you haven't checked that out, make sure that you do. And they were saying how, I think it was Jimmy who said, so they renew Chapek's contract.
Which was shocking.
He's not in the renewal period 11 months.
Right.
Right. And they make this, you know, they cut him loose and they make this announcement that Iger's going to come back. And what I love that Jimmy said was, okay, so you're telling me that of all the people, this one guy is the guy that like is going to come back and make everything right? What does that say? That's a larger statement about the state of that company.
I agree with that. And
I thought that was so profound.
For several reasons, though. Because when Chapek finally breaks from Disney, when Iger finally breaks from Disney, which was because of Chapek not wanting him looking over his shoulder, Iger finally starts speaking his mind and saying, you know what? I never wanted Chapek. He wasn't my choice.
Yeah.
It was the board's choice. He starts bad-mouthing Chapek.
So, yeah, there was no love lost between them at that point.
Right. Like, there was no shaking of the hands. It was take your golden parachute, Chapek, and enjoy life.
Goodbye.
Iger, meanwhile, says, I'm never going back there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never go back to Disney.
I believed him.
And... because it sounded like he made it. Now, here's the thing. Do you know his deal?
Money talks.
You know the deal, but do you know the deal?
How many millions each year?
One.
Okay.
1 million salary. Okay.
Yes.
Then 1 million. I don't know if it's incentive based.
We can have maybe details of the.
It's 1 million base. Another million, and then 26 potential million, which is the deal that Eisner got. When Eisner came in, Eisner got this, he had a sweetheart deal where he was paid. I think he got paid nothing. But if the stock went up, he got stock. And in his first, one of his first years, he made $82 million just from stock. And that pissed everyone off. Well, he fixed it. He saved Disney. Disney was about to be broken up, sold in pieces. Eisner saves Disney. And then because of the deal they cut, they kick him in the ass.
Well, and who did Eisner turn to turn things around?
He turns to his buddy from Apple. Well,
true, but yeah. Well,
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, but also within the Disney organization, who does he look to? The creatives.
Exactly. He says, what built Disney?
Animation.
Animated films. Walt funded the parks.
Right.
With the movies.
And Iger's already on record as making that same statement. He gets that. He gets that. And he's already, you can tell it's already something he's laser focused on.
Right. Because when JPEG took over,
The creatives
were cut out of the picture.
Yes.
They didn't have a voice anymore.
Right.
They had no say in what they were going to do. That was the complete opposite of Disney, of Eisner.
Unless you were one of a very small number of people in that streaming content creating bubble, like Favreau and Filoni and all the people, you know, these very well-established creatives that you can't really use that as an example. And so Iger's already saying that he's already been quoted as saying he's going to be looking to reengage with that side of the organization.
I'm a little nervous, to be honest, with some of the things he's saying, though.
Yeah.
He did put a stop because Chapek was right on the verge of a major
layoff.
Major layoff.
Yeah, he is
going to be like half of the workforce.
Right. I mean, the hiring freeze is going to stay in effect probably till he just can get his hands around.
Right. But I'm not talking about a hiring freeze.
Right. The layoffs.
It was a layoff. So he stopped the layoffs.
Layoffs?
Who's talking layoffs?
That's a good reference.
But it's just, I don't know what's going to happen. Iger's back for less money.
But talk about, so Chapek's gone effective immediately, which that was the other thing I wanted to mention, that Jason from the Rebel Force Radio podcast, the other host, says, effective immediately.
He was a guest on our show, by the way.
Jimmy McInerney. Yeah.
Right.
And so love to have Jason on too. But he says effective immediately, like there's gotta be more to that story.
Yes.
That we don't know about. Scandalous something or other, perhaps, that went on. I mean, effective immediately?
I think the stock was just
about to tank.
It never dropped like that ever in the history. Yeah. It was the biggest drop in Disney history, 185%.
And maybe, you know, approaching the holiday season, they're getting a little, you know, antsy.
Right, because they got to bring in some money.
We got to turn the ship around. Yeah.
Correct. One thing that was interesting to me was there are rumors out there right now. And you just kind of, I don't know if you even realize this rumor. Mm-hmm. There's a rumor that Apple is going to take over.
Iger's already shot that down.
Right.
But, which, you know, that doesn't mean it's not true.
Correct. But. And the way he shot it down, it wasn't like, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, it's just speculation or whatever.
This is what he says. He says, you know, when Steve Jobs was alive, we had discussed, and I think we would have merged our companies as one. And I thought, that's an interesting response to his Apple taking over. It was almost like, well, they were going to, if this guy stayed alive.
So what does that do? Just expand their content distribution and creation side of the house? I mean, what would be...
I think... I think that they look to Apple because it's, you know, what Apple's missing. We can agree on this.
They're really missing the same thing.
We've got an iPhone.
They're suffering from the same problem.
We've got an iPhone that hasn't changed since Hector was a pop, to quote our dear Dad would appreciate. Dad.
Yeah.
It's been the same since version 6, except the screen went from this to this.
Yeah, no innovation.
There's no innovation. You know, Steve Jobs, every year, he would make me buy an Apple
phone.
Remember
how excited you would get when he would be coming out and leading those?
Because you knew something special. And something to know what was going on, I don't know if you've seen the movie. I don't think you have with the actor that you like now.
Ryan Reynolds?
No. God. He was in Imitation Game.
Oh, yeah, from Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Cumberbatch, no, it wasn't him. It was somebody else that played Steve Jobs.
Okay, because there was one with, what's his face, from Punk'd.
Not that one. That one was total, that was a total made-up fiction.
It's pretty bad.
But if you watch the Apple, you know, he has a daughter. Steve Jobs has a daughter that was, you know, totally out of his life. Because he was so obsessed with making Apple the best company in the world and innovating products. And it was interesting. They showed the background of him. But that's him and Eisner are the same ilk to me. I had this dream, and I told you, I said last night, I had a dream. And you said, save for the show. My dream was, I'm at Disney, right? And
that's
there's
Eisner. That's a dream deferred now, my friend.
There's Eisner, right? And he's going into an office. And I'm not far from him, heading his way. Mm-hmm. He's like, come on, Mike. We got... Iger's on his way. We're in a meeting here. It's just bizarre. It's like
that's the dream.
That was my dream. That Eisner.
Were you Chapek in that story?
I think I was Chapek.
I think it was Chapek.
I think I was Chapek. They were about to hatchet me. Is what was that? Because I woke up, but I woke up before the best part because I thought Eisner with his brain and Iger's business because. It was Eisner that originally started to deal with Steve Jobs.
You've got this like never ending love affair with Eisner. That
I do.
Coming back.
Because I was there when he was there.
Yeah. So
and he was
romanticizing it.
If you were in his presence, it was like, whoa.
Like in your dream.
Yeah. Like in my dream. I got fired. But
yeah, now, so let's back up a little bit. So Chapek's gone. One of his main cronies is gone. Immediately terminated.
Yes.
Kareem Daniels, his name. They're all affiliated. I think most of these people are with the digital media side of the house. You know, the streaming, content and Disney Plus and all of that. So I'm not sure who he's announced. I haven't looked at all of the moves that have been made. I'm sure there's more to come.
Who I mentioned to you, I think he's the next guy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Iger, I don't know if it was at the town hall he just did or where, but he was quoted as talking about getting with him soon to talk about, because I guess Iger hasn't like experienced the park reservation system yet.
Right.
Because see, that's all stuff Chapek brought in.
Exactly.
All that nonsense.
Exactly.
So we may see, maybe some of those things will go away. We can get back to a little bit.
Or they'll be free, not $15 a pop.
Right. Well, I've heard now those lightning lanes.
Right.
It's not like a flat rate. They change.
No, it goes up and down.
Right. And recently they said like as much as $30.
Right. when it's busy, they jack up the price.
What a gouge.
That's got to be fixed.
The latest thing I heard, and we I think we talked about this very briefly. I wasn't surprised to read this, but already it sounds like this is just hours ago, the headlines. Yeah. Florida perhaps doing a bit of a U-turn on the Don't Say Gay controversy, which led to, you know, this was the parental education rights bill that was dubbed the Don't Say Gay bill here in Florida that Chapek, under pressure, eventually spoke out against, got him in total hot water with the governor. And
DeSantis.
And the governor comes after Reedy Creek, which is like the government entity of Disney, and says, no more of that. Goodbye.
Right.
Your little tax, you know, cushion that you've had for all these years.
Right.
Well, now they're talking about, you know, not a total reversal, but I wouldn't be surprised to think Iger was on the phone immediately with DeSantis trying to strike up a deal and say, look, hold on.
Right.
Let's negotiate. Let's come to some sort of compromise.
Right. Right.
You need us. We need you. Let's figure this out. So that's the latest.
I don't think it was legal anyway. To be completely honest with
you,
I don't
know about that.
Because this was a deal struck by Walt. And my understanding, it was pretty ironclad. I mean, Disney has built Central Florida, let's face it. And we were there for a good chunk of it. You know, we were there when it was tiny. And now it's like, you know, considered a pretty big city.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, it's not like a Los Angeles or a Boston, but it's still a, you know, more people go there every year than any other destination.
Any ideas on or thoughts on what the first big move is going to be?
I think somehow Josh, and I can't think of his last name.
It begins with a D.
It's like Demers. Yeah.
Well, I'll look it up while you're.
Yeah. So I think he's going to, because he's well liked by the employees.
D'Amaro.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's well liked by the employees. And that's the first step.
Because I think he came up as a.
He did.
You know, he came up through the parks.
I think he was, a ride operator when he was a kid.
Right. Right.
So he's been around at least 15 years, at least.
Oh, probably longer than that.
Yeah. And he knows, you know, what makes.
And quite honestly, it's very likely that he was just, you know, put under some restraints and really not given the freedom to do much.
I think
because
so.
Plus, he saw the parks and there's nothing going on at the parks.
Right. And he saw all his projects. Axed,
put on hold. Yeah,
the last time we were there pre-pandemic, when I visited you, we went into this.
It was like a pavilion.
A pavilion, and they had
the
layout of all the new stuff. And we were pretty excited, especially about Epcot.
You walk into that pavilion now, it's a model of Epcot from 1982.
Exactly. it's like all the stuff is gone.
Yeah.
And I did see it.
They just announced
so easy.
They just announced the closing date for Splash Mountain. It's going to be at the end of January 2023, and then that's going to undergo its facelift. But
yeah. It's going to undergo its.
It's going to be Tiana in the like Bayou something or other.
It's basically getting a racial makeover.
Yeah, right.
Because exactly. Song of the South is basically.
Which, you know, one of our most popular episodes, Disney's Song of the South. It's like Disney Song of the South and Mulan are like, you know, neck and neck.
And I think people are like, hey, look, we can get Song of the South. Oh, who are these jackasses?
Yeah, well, this is what I'm looking forward to is I want to see what he's going to bring to the park experience, because we could go on another hour about the failed Galaxy's Edge experiment, which, and I'm really getting tired of like, you know, Florida getting like the sloppy seconds from California, because this just something as small as Disney finally caving in, loosening up a little bit. And now we're seeing the Mandalorian and Grogu and Boba Fett and some other characters showing up in Galaxy's Edge.
Correct.
They just made an appearance at Galaxy's Edge in Disney World here in Florida.
Oh, they did.
They did. And this should have happened so many months ago. But as others have already reported, essentially what I believe happened and had been reported is that they took all of the things that were initially promised in that land. They put it behind this big paywall, which is the Galactic Star Cruiser, which is a total swing and a miss, a hot mess. Nobody's going to this thing. It's wide open for reservations from here to the end of time. And they're giving away discounted, you know, packages to travel agents and people. So they just need to bulldoze that and do away with it. And just say, you know what, that was a
story. And infuse it in the park.
And put it back into the park. Correct.
And, you know, every week when there's a Disney show playing, whether it was Andor, whether it was Obi-Wan, every time I would watch the episode, I would call you and say, can you imagine if they had this come around the corner in Galaxy's Edge, how great that would be?
Like a ghost town, the last handful of times I'd go in there just was nothing. You'd be lucky if you saw Kylo Ren walking around in there.
Yeah.
And they had a stage set up with his ship that was supposed to be, it would do these little periodic vignettes, you know, on the stage. And they didn't even do that.
I remember when you went out there, it was opening night, right after opening night. Yeah. Right after Lucas and, you know, the cast was there.
Oh, yeah.
You went out, and what happens? They have these Star Cruisers.
They were drones.
They were drones.
They were X-Wing fighter drones.
Which what they can do with the drone technology, you should see what they're doing in Disneyland Paris with it.
Yeah, they had to get special permission from, the FAA or something to fly those that night. Unreal.
But meanwhile, in Disneyland Paris, they're spelling out all sorts of stuff using drones, and it's remarkable.
Yeah, the drone technology is crazy. It's
like
incredible.
That could be the future of Galaxy's Edge is drone technology overhead. But
merged with VR experience, maybe that's where Apple comes in.
Right. Even still, you went out, you saw that, you took pictures of it. I was blown away by it.
It was phenomenal.
And then you're sitting there. Next thing you know, a stormtrooper comes up to you, starts asking you for ID.
There was a lot of interaction. Right. A lot of interaction. And then it just gets silly. And again, then it just disappeared. Now, I'm hoping by the time we get to, let's say, February next year, maybe we'll start to see some changes. Because I'll be displaying this bad boy when it comes to Valentine's Day. Grogu sucking on.
I did order you one today, by the way.
Oh, did you?
I did. But it won't come till next year, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. So look, let's move away from this.
Yeah, because that's one last thing is creatively Iger has 2 years.
And again, what Jimmy Mack said about okay, you're bringing this guy in, that's supposed to, he's the savior of this whole thing.
Right, because he was around when it was starting to.
One guy is going to, but we'll see. If there's deals to be had.
Right. But, you know, interestingly, Feige, who's Kevin the golden Feige. Boy of Marvel.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you heard this. DC snagged the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
I can't think of his name.
I did read that, and it escapes me. Yeah.
So he took the gig now. He was doing both.
Right.
He was doing Guardians 3, and he also did what's the terrible movie they did with.
Oh, James Gunn.
James Gunn.
James Gunn.
So James Gunn is the Feige. He basically sold himself to DC as I'm going to be the Feige.
And James Gunn did Peacemaker, right?
He did Peacemaker.
Which I actually liked. I liked that series.
That series is funny, but the movie it was based off of was terrible.
The Suicide Squad.
Yeah, the Suicide Squad.
All right, so let's transition. We're going to do a quick chit-chat about a new movie that, well, it came out November 17th.
Yeah.
Just before Thanksgiving. And I always like to pull this out around this time whenever this gets brought up. This is a autographed VHS tape of A Christmas Story by Peter Billingsley, who plays Ralphie in A Christmas Story, because A Christmas Story Christmas had just come out on HBO Max. You know, I watch A Christmas Story marathon on TBS every year. I've loved this. I know it backwards and forwards.
I have it right here.
You've got it propped up. I see that. Yep. And
it's sealed.
It's sealed. Wow.
It's my confession right now.
Interesting.
I don't think I've ever watched the entire film.
That's shocking. Now, there is a sequel. It's terrible.
And yeah, it's kind there's, of like there's a Christmas story, too. It's awful.
Yeah, he's not even in it. It's like the season of the witch of A Christmas Story, you know, because he's not even in it.
The reason I haven't seen A Christmas Carol, because it's on TBS, like 24 hours. Christmas Story.
Yeah.
And I'll flick in, I'll hang for about 10 minutes, and I get a little bored, and I flick to the game or something.
Flick who?
Yeah, I know. Like, well, the characters in the new one, I don't know if they're the same people.
They are. They are. Many of them
I assumed they were.
Yeah, so A Christmas Story Christmas, I see the trailer for this. I get pretty excited because it's Billingsley. And,
and he wrote it.
Yeah, and they're teasing it out, and as I just said, many of the original cast are in it. His buddies, his brother Randy's in it. What I didn't like, this is a very little part. Who's that?
His brother Randy.
Yeah, it was very
five
small.
Minutes, maybe.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than that. But this is set like what Ralphie's probably now in his early 40s, late 30s, somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
And it's in the 70s, I think, now. Whereas it was like set in the 40s or 50s, I suppose, in the original one.
Right.
Now, the actor that played his father, can you pull out his name? He's so phenomenal in the original A Christmas Story. He's since passed on, as has the mom, I believe, right? They're both deceased now.
More than likely, because it's over.
No, I think they both are now. Yeah, I think she passed away more recently. But and so the mom, though, they actually bring the mom back in this one.
Ralphie, promise me we're going to make this a wonderful Christmas. That would make your father so happy.
I promise.
Yeah.
And I told you this before you saw it, played by Julie Haggerty, who we know from Airplane fame.
Correct. I should have known this name without looking. Darren McGavin.
Darren McGavin.
I should have known that without looking.
He was so good, man. He was so good. But so they, you know, because I could see why they brought the mom back, but not his character, because the story, the synopsis of this one is really,
He's become his old man.
His old man, he actually learns, spoiler alert, he learns during the course of the film that his father passes away. Mm-hmm. And he has to write his eulogy. That's really what it centers on. Ralphie's a writer. He's a struggling writer trying to make it. He can't get anything sold. And so he's having writer's block, essentially trying to come up with a eulogy.
Well, no,
for his father.
I think it was the opposite of writer's block. He wrote like 8,000 pages.
Oh, that's true. But he couldn't get his ideas sold.
Right.
Until he stumbles on this story that comes out of him eulogizing his father. So, you know, it was cute. It was cool to see some of the original cast, but you know, it's not that good. It's really not that good.
Yeah, it isn't.
I mean, it's really hard to beat the narration by Gene Shepard, who wrote the short story that A Christmas Story was originally based on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things
I think they made a mistake was, okay, there's the sled scene where he goes to sit on Santa's lap and Santa kicks him down the sled.
Oh, the slide, yeah.
The slide from the original.
Yes.
Let's do that in the new one.
They did that way too much. They did it way too much. They tried to almost frame by frame recapture all those iconic moments.
Right.
You know, Ralphie fiddling with the tree lights like his father did. It was too much. It was too forced. And I didn't like Billingsley doing the voiceover, the narration. It just didn't work for me. I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't love it.
But there was too much.
It was too much. You know, it was sweet. It was sweet. It was the idea was interesting, but it just was.
It was a much better idea than A Christmas Story 2.
It was.
That's about as much as I'm going to give it credit for.
Yeah, again, it's a touching story. It just wasn't wasn't done very well. So
yeah,
sorry, Peter, because I really do. He was a really nice guy. I still love A Christmas Story. All right, so moving away from that.
And if you meet him again, you're going to be like, I'd love The Christmas Story Christmas.
I'd probably be a little bit critical, perhaps, but yeah, I would shower him with some praise.
You would suck up.
Yeah. Hey, would you sign my DVD, a 4K copy of
4K.
The Christmas Story Christmas?
Yeah.
So look, one of the things, we started the episode talking about COVID.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to call it an upside, but I've binged 14 series, I think.
Yeah, you've got to turn the TV off.
I mean,
get some fresh air.
Get some fresh air.
But for me, for me, TV is like noise. It's like white noise.
But this isn't TV. These are, you know, series, streaming series. I'm not watching, I Love Lucy or something.
No, but for me, I just kind of have it on in the background while I'm doing whatever and listening to the
news. I went through before COVID, I went through so many series like Veep. I just destroyed that.
Right.
I've seen The Sopranos again, And so I'm always looking for something new to kind of grab my interest. And there's so much, there's too much content. But I decided to finally take a look at White Lotus.
Yeah, which is an HBO Max
show. On HBO Max, yeah. That is on Sundays on HBO Max, actually. Mm-hmm. There's now two seasons of that out.
Right.
And they're two separate stories, but they're both based around this hotel chain called the White Lotus and the goings-on that transpire, at the hotel, basically. So
it was supposed to just be a one-and-done.
Must be a one-off, yeah. But because of the ratings.
People liked it.
Yeah, in season two, Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, actually. Speaking of The Sopranos.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, so you finished season one?
I finished season one, and my take on it was there were some funny scenes, but
it's definitely not a comedy. Although there is some comedy in it.
There is some comedy.
But it's like dark humor,
But everything wrapped up too neatly for me for almost every character except for one who
finish season one.
I did.
Okay.
So I did see that one scene that you told me about, and then you tried to make it like it was a different show. The guy who's running the White Lotus
has intimate relations with someone?
Well, that's one of the things that got a lot of people watching it. Uh-huh. But he leaves a present for one of his favorite guests.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think it was CGI.
That's right. But that's actually, it's funny you mentioned that. You're talking about the guy shitting in the guy's in his suitcase.
Yes.
But what I'm talking about is a different scene in a different show where the guy's shitting. Apparently, that's a new trope now.
That a thing now?
You got to defecate in someone's goods. I don't know. But here's the thing: like, there's been a really hard shift taken now to sort of equalize on screen nudity and whatnot, because double standards all day long. I totally get it.
Right.
But White Lotus took it to a whole new level with man junk. I mean,
yeah.
There's a scene in there that's so just like I don't understand why that needed to be. First of all, can we all agree the male form
is not generally attractive. Speaking,
is not attractive. Isn't it Seinfeld that you used to talk about how it's just very utilitarian?
Around naked? That is not a good look for a man.
Why not? It's a good look for a woman.
Well, female body is a work of art. The male body is utilitarian. It's for getting around. It's like a Jeep.
So you don't think it's attractive?
It's hideous. The hair, the lumpiness, it's simian.
Yeah. Like it. I'm enjoying it. It's good. It's good.
I just, you know, the funny thing is, this is, of all the things, the funny thing about it was, first of all, you throw like 20 things at me 2 days ago. Watch this. Watch that. Watch this. Right. Make sure you catch some of this. I'm like, for crying out loud.
Stop punching the microphone.
I'm staying up all night watching this stuff. But the funny thing was, you know, I had heard of White Lotus. You know, it's getting press. And
yeah.
And I had no clue what it was about.
And you see it every time you go on the HBO Max menu. It's like,
yeah,
White Lotus, White Lotus, and White Lotus.
It's basically a flower in Hawaii, right? That's what the White Lotus is.
Is it? Is that the origin?
I think so. So I'm thinking it's got something to do with that. I don't know what I think.
It's a hotel chain.
But I start asking you who's in it. And you're like, well, there's a, you know, some of the people, you know.
F. Murray Abraham's in it.
He's in the second season.
Season two, right? You haven't gotten there yet. Right.
And he's in another show.
Too, Aubrey Plaza, also in the.
Yeah. So all of a sudden you're like, Stifler's mom. She's in it.
You knew exactly who I was talking about, though.
I did.
Everybody knows that. Jennifer Coolidge.
Right. And she's done 100 movies.
She's done tons. Best in Show is one of the greatest.
Right. But she's always and forever Stifler's mom. I'm like, Eugene Levy is this close to being Stifler's dad.
You're right.
He was in all those American Pie movies.
Right. That's
funny. You know, he took God knows how much to do those movies.
That's true. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Schitt's Creek, which Stifler's mom is also in, Eugene Levy would be
six degrees of defecation.
Stifler's dad, you know.
Oh my God. But now, the other show
that just made me laugh. The whole time I'm watching her, I'm like, Stifler's mom.
It's Stifler's mom, yeah. Besides White Lotus, another one that I told you to check out was Mythic Quest. I kept seeing this come. Now, this is on Apple TV.
Right. And I watched just one show.
This is on Fridays on Apple TV. There's currently now 3 seasons out.
And it's only a half hour show. So.
Yeah. And I've watched all 3 seasons in like a week.
Yeah. Cause it's pretty quick.
It is quick, but it's
by this time it was like 4 a.m. and I was like, that's enough.
And I really didn't know anything about it. And then I saw, kind of read the synopsis, you know, this video game development company. It's based on, they create this game called Mythic Quest. And, you know, it's really what goes on. It's like The Office, but done in a video game world, you know, at a video game company instead of a paper company. I think it's maybe just one episode. It's narrated by Sir Anthony Hopkins, which is very cool.
Mm.
It kind of reminded me of when he did the narration for The Grinch.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, he did Boris Karloff.
And I had told you William Hurt is in this, and we had said it had to have been one of his, if not his last, performance. Because
is he just in the third season?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not even near him yet.
Yeah, and then so anyways, I'm really enjoying it. And what I didn't know, it was created by Rob McElhenney and I just forgot his buddy's
David
name.
Gordon Green.
Charlie Day, right? Isn't
Yeah. Charlie Day. But David Gordon Green's name but hold comes on a second. First.
Right. He's directed a few of them in the first couple but then he disappears from the mix.
Because he had to do Halloween.
Right. Good Lord. But it's really Rob McElhenney. I didn't know him and Charlie Day, always Sunny in Philadelphia, huge hit.
Uh-huh.
He's married, Rob Macklin, he's married to the female lead of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which has been on for, God, how many seasons is that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's on FX, right?
Yeah. And he and Ryan Reynolds are big. Yeah. I didn't know this. Like, they just bought a soccer team that did like a Ted Lasso kind of deal where they bought this terrible team.
Right.
And trying to revive it, whatever, that's streaming on Apple too, I think. But I really like it. I think it's super funny. Great acting. A lot of unknowns. A lot of people I wasn't familiar with.
Yeah.
Couple of familiar faces.
Some that you're going to say, oh, yeah, I know him from Community or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe other people would know them more. But the last show that I jumped on, because I got through that really quick, was – one that I was going to watch here and there, and then I just never could dive into it because I thought,
Hi, sorry. We haven't been honest with you. I mean, not like with the news. I'm not talking about that. I'm actually talking about ourselves.
Is the morning show with Jennifer Aniston.
Right.
Because I thought, okay, this is going to be like a Me Too take on the Matt Lauer scandal that took place at NBC. And I don't know. It's just... But man, it is really good. And
speaking of which, there's a movie coming out dealing with Weinstein. What's the name of that?
I don't know.
Because that's been all over
the Harvey
place.
Weinstein.
And I recognize the lead female, but I can't think of her name.
Yeah, this is Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
And there's some others. Somebody who comes in the towards the latter part of the second season, who I told you about, is Valerie Galino, who's a very well-known Italian actress.
Yeah.
Who was Tom Cruise's love interest in Rain Man.
Yeah.
Blew me away.
She looked way different.
I hadn't seen her in years.
Yeah.
And she's now...
What,
she's,
seriously?
Not figure speech. Huh. Great reference. But yeah. She's...
Plain Strands.
Up on the wall there. But she's got blonde hair now, so she looks very different. It's really good. Jennifer Aniston is really, really, really good.
The show's getting, what is it, Apple? Another Apple show?
It's another Apple show. It's getting ready to come back for season three. They haven't announced the date yet, but it's in production.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, some of the acting is incredible. And yeah, the Me Too is a big... central theme of season one.
Right.
Steve Carell is also in it. Kind of the Matt Lauer sort of character.
Right.
And season two is really all focuses on COVID. Very interesting how they look back at the events of COVID and how it's really, really well done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, they probably filmed that and did all that in 2021.
Right.
But the way that they go back and retrace the steps of that whole story is pretty phenomenal from the, you know, the earliest whispers of it happening, you know,
like January, February.
Yeah. So
and
it's one
when some people knew about it, like the president.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. But at that point it was a hoax. I think it was going to go away.
Yeah, it was a hoax.
But the,
like the flu, it's going to go away.
It's like the flu. Yeah.
That's what he did. He had this hand gesture.
That's kind of like, is that like the Flash? What is that?
I'm going to pierce the future.
I love that move.
I can't wait till they market that.
So anyways, Mythic Quest, White Lotus, The Morning Show, some recommendations for the listeners who may not have checked those series out. One last thing I got to bring up to you, and I guarantee you haven't seen this, but I finally watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concert on HBO.
The latest?
You know, the induction ceremony.
Yeah.
Yes, the latest. And now I was at the opening of the Rock and Roll Hall
of Fame Museum in Cleveland.
Yeah. And I saw that inaugural concert that took place with all of the Aretha Franklin, Jerry Lee Lewis, who just died.
The Who were
actually there. The Kinks were there. Bruce Springsteen, of course, was there. You know, many others. James Brown was one of the greatest things I'd ever seen. His performance was unreal.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan was there, Slash. Anyways, I watched this one, and I was really thrilled because Pat Benatar got inducted. And she's always been a favorite of mine. And I got to tell you, man, some of these artists of our generation, like Pat Benatar, Who was the other? Eurythmics.
Joan Jett.
Yeah, she had been, I think she was inducted last year, 2 years ago or something. Man, they can still bring it. It's amazing. Even like Judas Priest was a little kind of far out, you know, metal band, but that was kind of fun. And what was cool is the very ending, Dolly Parton, who I don't know if you knew the story.
She didn't want to be.
Yeah, she said.
Because she's country.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not sure I really have done anything to deserve to get it. Right. Very humble, you know.
Right.
She finally agrees because she starts to realize like the sentiment from the fan base. And
they said they were going to do it. Might look with or without her.
Yeah. Right. Might look like a little bit of a slap in the face. So she ends up, she's there.
Yeah.
She gets inducted. And then the final performance is her on stage. She had written a new song.
Uh-huh.
But then they go into singing Jolene, one of her big hits.
Right.
And it was so wild to see like all the artists were out there with her singing Jolene. Brandi Carlile, Sheryl Crow, even the guy from Judas Priest, Rob Halford, was there singing. It was really pretty wild. So, and she say what you will, she looks like a cartoon character, but
yeah.
I mean, how old is Dolly now? She's 80-something.
She's up there.
She's got to be in her 80s.
But, you know.
All right, man. Wow. We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And it was from COVID and cranberry sauce.
Yeah, which I didn't have any cranberry sauce or Thanksgiving.
I had nothing. I had no turkey roll here, there, or anywhere for that matter.
Yeah. I was just trying to sleep my way through. To
quote the late great John Candy, who you're displaying behind you up on that awesome Planes, Trains, and Automobiles poster.
This is it, folks. That's not Mike says
this
anymore.
Is it. This Planes, is the... Trains. The new one in the middle, I'm loving, which is a great Coen Brothers classic, The Big Lebowski.
Yep, the dude.
And of course, Citizen Kane, they'll have to pry that from your cold, dead hands.
Exactly.
Before that goes anywhere.
That'll be the last to leave. But the only one that I'm shaky on that I would like up there is the Back to the Future, which I had up there.
Cindy Busby would like to put that back up.
Yeah, she liked it. But I got to have the dude abiding over my shoulder.
It's really nice. I like that
one
a lot.
Dude abides.
It's classic, yeah.
And he got sick recently, and he's making a great comeback.
Great comeback. Love to hear that. Jeff Bridges, great actor. Speaking of Tron, great actor. All right, man. Well, hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of the O Brother Podcast. I've been your host, Dan Smith. Alongside me, as always, my brother from the same mother, Mike Smith. And we will see you next time.
Hey, this is actress Carissa Lee Staples, and you're listening to the O Brother Podcast.